three songs? That's okay. Hey, good morning to you. Y'all awake? Good. I'm really awake this morning. You want to know why? Ask me why. I'm really awake. Glad you asked. I'm really awake because our hot water heater quit. And so I had an interesting shower this morning. I tried to limit it, the duration of it, you know, because cold water. And kind of like what my grandmother used to call a lick and a promise. You know, you get in and get out real quick. So I'm wide awake this morning, and I'm ready to go. But I'm also excited because we're starting a new series today. And to get us started today, I want to try and challenge your memories. Maybe to challenge your programming, if you will. I'm going to say an advertising slogan, and I want you to shout back to me the name of the company, if you know who did this, okay? So you ready? Melts in your mouth, not in your hand. M&M's, okay, that's a good one. How about the quicker picker-upper? Bounty, okay, you're doing good so far. America runs on? Dunkin' Donuts, right? Here's one that's been around a while. There's some things money can't buy, and for everything else, there's MasterCard. Well, at least one or two of you got that, I heard that. So these slogans, they have a way of sort of sticking in your head, don't they? I can remember... I can still sing the Oscar Mayer Wiener song all the way through, both versions of it, if you know both versions of that. And the Good and Plenty song, people know the Good and Plenty song, some of them? Okay, some of you. I can still remember, I can sing off by heart the opening song to WKRP in Cincinnati, you know, or I can sing the song from Cheers. But actually, you only have to hear... And the Cheers one, you probably only have to hear that first seven notes, right? Dum, da 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 dum, dum, dum. You know, like, so you hear those first seven notes, and it's like, okay, that's Cheers. You know what that is. So those things stick in our head, and they have a way of sort of embedding themselves in there. And, you know, some of you are going to go home and, you know, have earworms for the rest of the day because we've started doing that. What about this one? This is maybe one of the most well-known slogans. Just do it. Nike. So everybody knows that. That line from Nike has been around since 1988. So that's fairly recent in modern history, but it's quite a while back, if you think about it. You know, we have slogans here at Fairview Avenue Church. One this morning actually was kind of confounding. You know, we shorten our Fairview Avenue Brethren in Christ to this acronym, FABIC, FABIC, F-A-B-I-C, and you'll see that listed sometimes. And that could be a little confusing because it doesn't immediately spell out what it is. Now here's one. Without looking, does anybody know our mission statement off by heart? Ooh, I don't see a hand. I don't see anybody. Well, let me put that up there. It says, our mission is to be a spiritually healthy family, make authentic disciples of Jesus, reflect his wholeness, and be transformed through worship, outreach, discipleship, community, and ministry. Anywhere you see those five things? Right there on the wall, right? Okay. And my guess is the vast majority of us do not know, as I think the lack of hands indicated, we don't know off by heart our ministry slogan or our ministry statement or our mission statement, even though we see it every time we come to church. I'll give you a hint. If you have a bulletin in your hand, pick it up and look on the front cover. And there it is. First thing listed is our mission statement, right? Now, the one I want you to focus on today is actually in the bottom right-hand corner on the front page of that bulletin. This is a slogan that we use very frequently, and yet maybe we still don't know this one, and it's a little short one. And here it is, open doors, open arms, open hearts, sharing the wholeness of Jesus with a broken world. Now this open doors piece, open doors, open arms, open hearts, it's actually been around this church and used off and on for about 30 or more years. Now, it was only about 7 or 8 years ago we added the extra line, sharing the wholeness of Jesus with a broken world. And we believe that is the center, that's the core of our vision for what we're supposed to be doing. I'd love it if you could memorize these. I mean, and remember both of these. But the five big points on the wall are probably enough as far as the mission statement is concerned. And if you can remember those parts, then you really remember the core of what we believe we need to be as a church or be doing as a church. This is what the scripture teaches us that we're supposed to be doing. Now, as far as the vision slogan right here, try to remember those words, sharing the wholeness of Jesus with a broken world. We're going to come back to those periodically through this series that we're going to be doing. But I think that boils it down pretty nicely. It's why we're here. It's what we're all about. But you know, a vision statement is great if it helps us focus, but it's one thing to know it, and it's another thing to do the Nike thing, and that's to just do it, right? To know it is one thing, but to do it is something entirely different. The interesting thing about a slogan is that you can know it and not really let it impact you. I mean, let's go back to Nike for a minute. The truth is a lot of people wear Nike clothes, you know, and it says, just do it. But the truth is many of us wear Nike clothes and don't just do it. You know, there's this whole trend in clothing that they call athleisure clothing. Have you heard about this before? I mean, athleisure clothing is for people who want to wear active wear but don't want to work it out, don't want to work out. You know, like yoga pants, right? I mean, yoga pants are those stretchy, skin-tight, revealing, almost naked tights that have started to replace the kind of wear and pajamas that you see at Walmart. But you know, the same is true with our slogan, sharing the wholeness of Jesus with a broken world. Knowing the vision and the mission is one thing, but living it out is something entirely different. And I think most of us really hope and really pray that the people that we love, our friends, our family, and our co-workers will someday experience that wholeness of knowing Jesus because they came to faith in Jesus. And we hope that people who've slipped away from faith and away from the church will find their way back to God. Isn't that true? Isn't that what we hope? But how do we go beyond merely hoping for those things and hoping that people will find their way and hoping that people will experience God's wholeness? How do we get beyond just hoping? It's a good vision. How do we live the vision and the mission out? And that's what we're going to be about over these next several weeks. Here's some good news that you may not know. You and I have been blessed with everything we need to carry out God's mission. Everything we need, we already have. Now, I used to have a professor at college who used to say, you know, if you never hear one more sermon for the rest of your life, you already know how to live for God. You already know what you should be doing, right? So there's this sense, you know, we're bringing to the table, we already know a lot of these things. You have been blessed with everything you need to carry out God's mission. We used to have one of our older theologians, a fellow by the name of Luke Kiefer Jr., he wrote a book called Everything Necessary, and that's what that book's all about, is showing us what God has given us so that we can do the mission of the church. Well, how do we know that we have everything necessary? Let's look at what God has to say about this. Maybe you think that God's mission started when Jesus came to earth, or when he commissioned his closest followers by saying, go and make disciples. Maybe you think that that's when that started. But did you know that God had a mission for his people all the way back in the beginning, in the book of Genesis? Let's take a look at what God said to Abraham. The Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. Wait a minute, didn't we just hear this story? Aha. Uh-huh. In Isn't it funny how God works and we didn't even talk ahead of time? And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. That's from Genesis 12. Now, if you were counting as I read that through, anybody count them? How many blesses do we see there? Anybody? How many blesses do we see there? Anybody? Anybody? Five. Oh, good guess. God says to Abraham, I will bless you, and you'll be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. And not only that, all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. Wow. Five times. But you know, something you need to learn, you probably already know this, that when God repeats himself, we need to pay close attention, right? Now, at this point in time, in the context, Abraham's future was really kind of in doubt. I mean, you know, he'd had these promises from God, and there was no sign of them showing up. I mean, he and Sarah didn't even have a son to carry out their legacy, and yet God had said, you're going to be a great nation. Well, how does that work? Well, you might say that the mission of human beings at that point, or the mission of God towards human beings at that point, had kind of come to a screeching halt. But you know, interestingly enough, that's often where God starts to work, isn't it? You know, when it seems like things are desperate, when it seems like things are hopeless, that's where God seems to do his best work. Well, we look around and we see a world in shambles at times. We see places at war, we see infighting, even among Christians. And we're in this place, I feel, and I think many feel, a place of desperation. But this is a place where God's mission can finally flourish. This is not a place where there's an absence of God. This is a place where God is working, and we just haven't seen the fruit of it yet. But God, in Abraham's situation, he came through, didn't he? He came through with a son, even in their old age. And so he says to Abraham, go. Go, I want you to move. I want you to leave everything behind and go where I'm telling you to go. Our God is constantly on the move, constantly. And he wants his people to move as well when he tells us to. And it's his desire that wherever we go, as we go, we're to be about the mission of blessing the people and places that cross our path. Now, was God going to bless the world by calling everybody to be Jewish? How about to obey all of the law? The Old Testament law. Not at all, right? But those things would be fulfilled in a descendant through a Jewish son named Jesus, who is the Son of God. So that blessing mission that was given to Abraham, it's passed down to be our mission of blessing to the world through Jesus. That's how God had planned to fulfill that mission, was through Jesus, through generation after generation later. And in the meantime, to be blessing people as well. Now we can't be on a mission with God and just stay in one place, especially in our faith, in our beliefs. You know, I think it's very easy for us to rest on our laurels. Well, I know this, I've received Jesus, I prayed the prayer, I walked to the altar, I was there at camp meeting. You know, all of those things that are in the past, and we say, well, you know, I've done all that, so I can just relax now. But the word sort of indicates to us that that's just the beginning. We only just got started. That we're on a mission, and we're following Jesus. And we have everything necessary that we need to accomplish the mission that Jesus has given us. That mission comes from God. God says, I will bless you, and then you will bless others with that very blessing that I'm giving you. I'm not blessing you so you can hoard it. I'm not blessing you so you can just bask in how good it feels to be blessed. That's a good feeling. But God says, we are blessed to be a blessing. And God's saying, I think, to us, however I blessed you, you use that to bless other people. You don't have to manufacture it. Just bless others with everything I've blessed you with. Now, that sounds fairly simple, doesn't it? Now, from the very beginning, even as far back as Abraham and God's plan for impacting the world, God's plan has always been a blessing strategy. God blessed Abraham, but the point was, the blessing was for Abraham and for all of us who follow after him spiritually, but he was to go and be a blessing in this new place, and we are to go and be a blessing wherever God calls us to be. Let's talk for a minute about Jesus as a blessing. Now, there's no better example of somebody who goes to be a blessing than Jesus is. His entire life was going and blessing. And Jesus blessed every person and every place he ever encountered. I mean, he even tried to bless the Pharisees, but they wouldn't receive it, right? They wouldn't receive the blessing by receiving Jesus. In his most famous teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, Jesus begins with the Beatitudes. Let me just put those up there quickly. Here are eight ways you can be blessed in life automatically. I mean, there are many more, but here are eight that Jesus talked about in particular. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the meek, those who mourn, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the persecuted, those who are persecuted for Jesus' sake. In fact, you know, as word spread far and wide about Jesus' blessing, there were all kinds of really cool things that happened. For example, it says that people were bringing little children to Jesus so that he would put his hands on them. That's a sign of blessing. Put his hands on them, and he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Luke the doctor, the historian, wrote Luke in the book of Acts. Luke records one of those powerful examples from Jesus' life. And I want to look at this story and how it starts out. And it may seem like an insignificant detail, but don't miss it as we go by. Listen to this as I tell you. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was chief tax collector and was wealthy, and he wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. And so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Now, notice in the first line, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. He's headed somewhere else. Like, this wasn't the destination. This was a stop along the way. And so spending time with Zacchaeus wasn't something that, you know, was planned weeks in advance and was on the calendar and that, you know, the disciples were all informed with. It was on the divine day planner or whatever. The opportunity to engage Zacchaeus happened in the moment. It presented itself as Jesus was on the go, living life and doing his ministry. And what we could easily miss is that Jesus chose to stop and spend time with a man that most people hated. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and tax collectors ripped people off. But even so, Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' house for a meal, which in that day was an act of friendship. And that was part of the custom. You know, there was this great, you know, blessing with hospitality was a huge thing. And if you invited someone to eat with you in their home, if you know anybody of Middle Eastern descent, that's a sign of fellowship and friendship. In fact, once you've eaten with someone, they often will consider you as part of the family. And so here's Jesus inviting himself to eat with Zacchaeus, this dirty, rotten sinner, right? And his act of blessing Zacchaeus moved him so much that he immediately changed, it affected his heart, and he immediately promised to give away half of everything that he'd owned, and you know, he was going to make amends for all those that he had cheated. Zacchaeus found his way back to God that way, and that day. And I love how Jesus responds to him. Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." Now, he's already a son of Abraham, right? So where are we referring back to? "This man too is a son of Abraham." Think of that Abrahamic blessing thing. "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Jesus' blessing over Zacchaeus was an immediate thing. He doesn't say tomorrow salvation is going to come. He doesn't say when you get your life straightened out or get your act together. Or when the check clears, you know, once you've made amends, then you get to come. Then you get to, you know, salvation will come to you. No, the blessing that Jesus gives him is for today, for now, for immediately. And think about the magnitude of that. I mean, here's a tax collector despised by his own people as a traitor, someone working for the Roman government, and he's being called openly a son of Abraham. He is now blessed. And by way of that covenant back then, blessed to be a blessing. And what was true of Abraham is now true of Zacchaeus. And you know, every day Jesus was on the go. Every day he went, he was blessing people wherever he went. And he came to places, every place he came across, more and more people would be blessed in this way and find their way back to God through Jesus, through faith in Jesus. Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. And Jesus was blessed to be a blessing. In fact, he was the blessing, right? Zacchaeus was blessed to be a blessing, and now in Jesus, we receive that same blessing. Zacchaeus demonstrates that those who have faith, meaning those who choose to follow Jesus, are children of Abraham in that spiritual way, in that way that was promised to Abraham. Scripture prophesied that God would save the Gentiles by faith, and he announced that the gospel was coming in advance. Even to Abraham, when he said, "All nations are going to be blessed through you." The Apostle Paul points this out. I mean, he makes a real straight line here. He's writing to the church in Galatia, and he draws a straight line from Abraham to us. He says, "So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." Check it out. Same promise. That promise of blessing for Abraham is a promise to us if we choose to put our faith in Jesus. If we choose to follow him, we are blessed. But here's what we can't miss. We are a blessing to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. The blessing was never meant to be something that we keep to ourselves. Jesus said that if we believe in him, streams of living water would flow from within us. Our lives aren't meant to be a bucket of blessings for us so that we can hoard them and hold on to them. Blessing is meant to flow out. We're not buckets, we're rivers. Amen? Amen? Now, when we find our way back to God, the blessings that we receive are meant to flow out of us so that we can help others find their way back to God too. The Apostle Paul puts it this way. He says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him." That's bring, reconcile means to bring back or to restore. "For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation." Some translations talk about the mission of reconciliation. He's given us this ministry. So here we are. The message of God's love and grace has been entrusted to us. Now think about some of the things we get to tell people. We get to tell people, God isn't counting your sins against you if you come to Christ. You can have a fresh start if you come to Christ. You can find your way back to God if you put your faith in Jesus. And it's a message straight from heaven. It's a divine blessing. It flows out of our lives into the lives of others. You are blessed to be a blessing. Now, I'm here today, and some of you heard my testimony a couple of weeks ago, which I shared, you know, that talked about how I came to faith in Jesus. I'm here today because somebody was willing to bless me. The people who led me to Jesus were Christ followers, and they were blessed with the blessing. But they knew that it wasn't something they were supposed to keep for themselves. They knew that the blessing was something they were to go and pass on to other people. And so they gave that blessing to me. And they prayed for me before they even knew me. When I met Ernie, the man in the situation, he listened to me. And he and his wife Carolyn shared a meal with me. And I was invited into their home, and we spent time together getting to know one another. And they told me stories about how they came to faith in Jesus and how they came to know the love of Jesus in their lives and how that made a big difference in their lives. And then, at the end of all that, they invited me to share that blessing. And so I knelt down by the couch in their living room, and I committed my life to follow Jesus and to bless others in the same way. That's part of that commitment. Now, I think, again, most of us really do hope that people that we meet and the people we already love, our friends, our family, our coworkers, will find their way back to God.
Spare. That works.
The question, I think, that is outstanding is, how do we move beyond hoping that people will find their way back to God to actually helping people find their way back to God? And that's the focus of the next 5 weeks that we're going to be doing in this series. We're going to be giving you five very simple practices, things that are super easy, that'll help you and your friends and family find their way back to God. And we call them the bless practices. I've got this word bless up here. I hope you can, that's clear. And let me walk through this really quickly. The B begins with prayer, or means, stands for beginning with prayer. We believe that prayer is both how you discover your mission as well as how you go about it. You know, it's part of that, right? So we have to be praying if we're going. We have to be praying to be going. To hear the call to go, we have to be praying, right? So we begin with prayer. We pray for other people. And if you're not sure that God's calling you to bless or where God is calling you to be a blessing, you can start with prayer. And if you know the people or the place you want to bless, then begin praying for those people or those places. It all starts with prayer. The L in bless is for listen with care. Sadly, a lot of Christians are known for talking more than listening. And if we really, truly hope to bless the people around us, we have to first get to know them. And any relationship that we're going to have starts with listening, doesn't it? We have to listen and hear their hopes and their dreams and their challenges. And truly listening is one of the kindest, most loving gifts that you can give to somebody. So the L is for listening. The E, oh, this is the good one. This is my personal favorite. It's something that many of us are experts at. The E is for eating. Eating together, right? This is the inviting for a meal. This is what Ernie and Carolyn did with me. They invited me into their home, and we shared a meal together. It just sort of breaks down all these barriers, right? And it moves any relationship past acquaintance to towards friendship and fellowship. And it does it just about faster than anything else we can do. And there are a few ways we can better bless the people around us. There are a few ways that are any better than that. Just sharing a meal together.
So the E in bless is eat. And if you'll begin with prayer, and if you'll listen and eat together, then there's a good chance that by then you'll have discovered how you can best serve that person. In fact, if you listen closely, they'll tell you how you can serve them. It'll come out in conversation, the things that they need, the things that they're looking for. And then finally, our experience is that if you begin with prayer and listen and eat together and serve, there is a very good chance that you will have the opportunity to share your story. Linda's going to do that next week. She's going to share her story. And it's then that when you tell them the story of how Jesus moved in your life in that situation, that's often when there will be questions. Well, what does that mean for me? Like, how do I do that? That was my question. So that second bless, or second S, is share your story. So we're going to have a lot more to say about all those things in the weeks coming ahead. Not next week, but the week after, we're going to jump right into this. And I want you to think back to Zacchaeus for a moment. Here's this man who was far from God, living a life of greed on the backs of the people around him, and he was despised and he was alone, but Jesus saw this man who had once been at odds with God sitting at the table sharing a meal with him. That sounds a lot like what we experience when we come together and share the Lord's Supper together, doesn't it? All these people who were once at odds with God, and we become brothers and sisters, and we come around that table, and we share in that fellowship of God. And maybe for whatever reason you've been at odds for God, please know that he's not far from you. And when we share the Lord's Supper, he's right here at the table with us. And he's right here with us in worship as we worship together. In fact, he's right there with you as you worship him by yourself. He's there everywhere we go. Just like he sat with Zacchaeus and shared a meal with him, he's always sharing with us. We're not despised. We're blessed. And maybe this is a word from the Lord, but I've been praying about it for the last couple of days. But I really feel compelled to say this very plainly. Maybe some of you need to stop cursing your neighbor and start blessing them. We are blessed to be a blessing. But the question is this. Who isn't under the blessing right now that you were sent to bless? Do you understand what I'm saying here? Who do you know isn't under the blessing of God right now because they're not a believer in Jesus? Who isn't under the blessing right now that you are being sent to bless? Each one of us needs to consider that question if we're, in fact, going to fulfill our vision, which is to share the wholeness of Jesus with a broken world. Now, let's remember Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for us. And I want to leave you with this one question today. We're not going to list a number of things we can do this week to live it out. This one thing we can be praying about. Put it before God and ask him. In fact, why don't we stop and do that right now? Why don't we ask him to reveal to us, to show to us who we can be a blessing to in this way? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who came to earth as a blessing because you loved us so much. Thank you for his gift of sacrifice on the cross for our sins so that our lives could be redeemed and our sins could be forgiven. And I thank you for the resurrection, the proof of what Jesus said and who he was, and the promise of eternal life. Lord Jesus, we ask you to reveal to us who you are sending us to bless with your message. Show us which of our neighbors or our family or our friends or maybe even a stranger. Take us to that place where we might meet them. Reveal to us who we're to be a blessing to, maybe right now in these quiet moments as we open our hearts to you. Maybe in the next few days you'll reveal that to some folks, or maybe sometime later this week. But whenever you choose to show us, Lord, show us who we are specifically called to bless. Holy Spirit, enable us and empower us to be a blessing to others in such a way that they see Jesus and are drawn to you. Lord, empower our own stories for your service and lead us as we go. Lord, thank you for blessing us. May we be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.